Public health policy in the US has been dictated. Public health policy in the US has been dictated by Anthony Fauci for over three decades. His pronouncements on COVID-19, which are taken as gospel by the media and the medical establishment, bear a striking resemblance to his pronouncements on the AIDS epidemic. The primary diagnostic tool used for determining a viral infection is the PCR test, which Anthony Fauci has helped to establish as the gold standard for testing. Kerry Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, has stated that no infection or illness can be accurately diagnosed with PCR. He discusses his thoughts on Dr. Fauci and the scientific and medical establishments with Dr. Gary Null in 1996.
Guys like Fauci get up there and start talking, you know, he doesn't know anything really about anything, and I'd say that to his face, nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. He doesn't understand electron microscopy, and he doesn't understand medicine, and he should not be in a position like he's in. Most of those guys up there on the top are just total administrative people, and they don't know anything about what's going on at the bottom. Okay, who do we trust? Fauci? Fauci doesn't know enough to, you know. If Fauci wants to get on television with somebody who knows a little bit about this stuff and debate him, he could easily do it, because he's been asked. And I've had a lot of people, president of the University of South Carolina, ask Fauci if he'd come down there and debate me on the stage in front of the student body, because I wanted somebody who was from the other side to come down there and balance my, because I felt like, well, these guys can listen to me, but I need to have somebody else down here that's going to tell me the other side. But Fauci didn't want to do it. The general public doesn't understand the idea of a gold standard here. Neither do doctors, physicians. So, I mean, you know, just pull the average physician away from his convention someplace in Cincinnati or something and sit down and have dinner with him and talk to him about this kind of a situation and see how much he really knows. Like, does he know what a Western does? Does he know what a Western blot actually does? I mean, how is it different from this ELISA test? Does he understand how an ELISA test is operated? Does he understand anything about the statistics associated with the times when they've been tried? No, he doesn't. And he doesn't give a damn either. What he knows about is that when he has a patient, he charges them a certain amount of money for every treatment that he does, for every little prescription that he writes, and he likes to have a lot of patients. And the county health department also knows that due to the Ryan White Act, for every single person who is diagnosed as having AIDS in the county, $2,500 a year from the federal government. So the county health department is actually pressuring doctors by their little subtle ways. They're not coming over and beating them. But don't miss an AIDS case. You report it to us. If it's a positive test on the HIV, you report it to us because it's $2,500 in our pocket every year. I mean, it's a kind of a... I mean, there's plenty of reasons why they're doing it. But, you know, one of them is not that doctors are intelligent people in this particular case. I mean, the doctors have been dumb. The people that have taken the drug have been idiots also. I mean, they really are idiots. Go to some doctor, and he gives you a drug. When you're not even feeling bad sometimes, you start taking it and you start feeling worse, or you start feeling bad for the first time, keep on taking it, because otherwise you're going to get sick. I think that money is the only, you know, it's just like in political scandals. Follow the money trail.
Does it bother that there is censorship in scientific publications, and even in the major media?
Yeah, it bothered me when Nature rejected. Right after I got the Nobel Prize in chemistry, man, I can't even write a short four-page hypothesis about what might, in fact, be a probable cause of AIDS. A hypothesis that was a useful one because it suggested a way to disprove it or prove it. You know, that's what a hypothesis is for, is to sort of suggest experiments that will try to disprove the hypothesis. Or if you can't disprove it, you start slowly accepting it. And so, Lancet, Nature, Science, those people say, we don't need a hypothesis directed at understanding what might be causing AIDS. We already know. And I call back the editors and I say, no, wait a minute, you got to, like, in Lancet, there's got a section called Medical Hypotheses. That's a type of an article you can submit. I said, this is a hypothesis. This is a very good hypothesis. Not only can it be proven or disproven easily with rats or mice, but if in fact if it turns out that this does cause AIDS, you'll have a model system, an animal model system, which would be worth billions of dollars to the pharmaceutical industry. You know, it was a beautiful little hypothesis, cute little thing. It wouldn't have taken a lot of work to prove or disprove it, but it wouldn't take any work to publish it, but not anybody would touch it.
The effectiveness of political and religious propaganda depends upon the method employed, not upon the doctrines taught. If the indoctrination is given in the right way at the proper stage of nervous exhaustion, it will work. Under favourable conditions, practically everybody can be converted to practically anything. Aldous Huxley, Brave New World Revisited. I'm Grant Edwards, this is Liberty NZ, and that was me talking about Kerry Mullis. And of course, Kerry Mullis invented the PCR testing system. And that's what we use here in New Zealand for month after month when the COVID coronavirus first came out. And then, of course, now we're using rat tests. Lenny, thank you very much for coming back. Good to have you on our program.
Thanks, nice to, good to be
nice,
on.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of that guy, Chris? Chris Wilson sounded pretty heavy, didn't it?
Yeah, he had the qualifications though, didn't he? Boy.
Yeah, he did. I wrote down a few things. So he says he's heading to northern Thailand. He thinks this is the safest place to be. Mm. He was telling me that Klaus Schwab is actually a Rothschild. Of course, we don't know that for sure, but that's what he said. He gave us a few names of people that we should look at. Independs, a guy called Tony Raccoon, he's an army nurse. Lawrence, the Lawrence Show, and then his email is scepter990@gmail.com. And then I think he mentioned Jeff Shepherd, and then Michael Sarian. So those were some of the names that I sort of jotted down. But yeah, so he had he was in his 20s, he had an accident. I can't quite remember how he had this accident.
I don't remember how.
Yeah, that's right, Genevieve. Oh, Lenny, this is Genevieve.
Hi, Leanne. Genevieve.
Hi.
And he was in a coma for 3.5 months, like our sister Val.
Yeah.
3.5 months, but she doesn't remember anything, though, does she?
No,
pretty
she
much.
Doesn't. No.
You guys are siblings?
Yeah, we're brother and sister.
Oh, wow.
Brother and sister. This is the first time she's ever been on my program. Leanne is a professional broadcaster, I'll have you know.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Grant.
This is my first time ever being on a live, too, was like
is it?
Episode before. Yeah.
Wow.
Ah, well, you're welcome to be here. Now, he does worry me a little bit about the Zionism because you and I, Leanne, we were taught that Zionism just means the it simply means it's, you know, like Boney M, you know, on the rivers of Babylon where we sat down and we remember Zion, which is Israel. And we believe that that Israel is the homeland for the Jews and that's Zion pretty much. But they've got a different understanding. This fellow, Chris and others, South Osmond's another one, and a few people that I've come across lately believe that Zionism isn't what we think it means something else. So I have an issue with that because, you know, I've been brought up in the church, as you have, Lenny, and we believe the Bible is the final authority. And
So are you guys Christian or?
Yeah.
Oh,
we are.
Good.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah,
that's
Bible
why
believers.
I had a lot of, I was listening to him. It was just kind of hard because, I mean, I believe very differently than him.
Me too. Yeah, we do too. But, you know, we believe in letting people have a talk. Otherwise, you don't know what they think, do you? You don't know. I could have chopped them off and had a big argument with them, but then I'd never know all. I wouldn't have gained all that information. And he certainly is very convincing, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, like he's a real orator.
Like, he has a lot of information and, a very interesting person.
Mm.
Was he a Zionist? I missed that part.
I don't think so.
I don't know what he was.
Mm.
Yeah, we'd have to follow him, I think.
The interesting about the Zionist thing, because I was just happened to flash on something yesterday, and it sounded like they were really into some deep, dark stuff, the Zionists, and it's nothing like, you know, what we knew of Zionism, Grant, you know, like... almost occultic stuff, you know. It sounded a bit creepy, so I didn't look into it anymore. But
I've heard something like that. The cabal?
Yes.
Cabal, that's supposed to be a bit esoteric.
Yeah.
But I think the Torah is basically just the five books of Moses, isn't it? It's just our Old Testament.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of holding on to the Bible for the time being.
Absolutely.
I see a lot of things that have happened that have come true, you know.
That's right.
And so I kind of hold on to that, you know, and our father and grandfather, you know, on both sides of our family, you know, they were Christians and they were good people and, you know, they didn't let us down. And, you know, wow, if we could live like they live, we'd be doing well, I think. So they were great role models for us.
Absolutely.
And what about you, Genevieve? You're a Christian.
Yes.
And you're from Missouri. And tell us about your life. Where were you? Like, you know, what sort of, did you go to a Baptist church or a Methodist or Roman Catholic? Or what were you brought up?
Well, my family, we all have some type of belief, you know, in God. We're all Christian, but our family has always, like, really, and I don't want to be like this, but prioritized our business over like going to church on Sunday. So we did go to a church, an Assemblies of God. I don't know exactly what that would be, but
probably the same here, right, Lenny? Assembly of God, AOG.
But I've recently found a Baptist church I really like because it does expository teaching, and I really like that.
Yeah, they're very good.
Yes.
Very good.
That's kind of what I'm 16. You know, I'm very
really?
Young.
You're 16. Yeah. I thought you were at least well into your 20s. You're very mature for 16.
Thank you. I've been told that.
Yeah. Well, I'm 62 and Leanne's 35.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Much younger than Graham. No guy.
Yeah, oh yeah. Mum had quite a few kids.
You only look 52.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Good skincare.
Yeah, good skincare. Yeah, all
absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't go out in the sun too much. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Drink that pine needle tea.
Oh my gosh.
No, you don't really. But yeah. I think you know how to make it though, don't you, Grant?
Oh, I have I've done a pine needle cologne.
Have you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and I just
wow.
Oh, it doesn't smell that good.
it doesn't smell like pine at all.
Have you made it yourself or did you buy it?
Well, yeah, we had some pine trees, and at a certain time of the year, you get your pine needles and you put them in with some probably vodka or something like that, some kind of sort of alcohol, and then you throw a few needles in so it looks realistic, and you put a top on it and a nice label, and hey presto, you've got cologne.
Interesting.
And
they were saying
the pine
cologne. Pine. Didn't they say that flushed out the toxins from the vaccine or something, wasn't it, in the early stages of the pandemic?
Oh, good.
Yeah, I remember being a bit about the pine needle tea. They said
I haven't heard of that.
Awesome. Right at the start, people were sending out a lot of natural remedies, you know, for flushing, you know, the toxic stuff, you know, out of the
vaccine. So I'm guessing you guys don't believe in the vaccines and stuff, or because I don't. But
that's no, we're with you. We're with
good.
You.
We're the pure bloods. Leanne and I, I was going to talk to you, Leanne, to see if you're interested in starting a blood bank. We just collect the pure bloods. There could be a business in that.
The ones that are not vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, would you want anyone else's blood today after all, but, you know, they say 70 to 90% of the, they got all this stuff in it, and the undertakers are saying that it's got, you know, it coagulates too easily. And
that's right. Yeah.
And Oh no, I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't touch the stuff.
No,
I won't. Are you Olean? Just in case something happens to me.
What's it?
What blood type? Are you blood type O?
Do you know? I don't know. I keep.
Yeah, I'm an O. If you need it, I can give you blood because O's can give blood. Yeah. So if you ever need blood, just let me know. I've got blood. Oh, I don't know whether you want my blood actually. I might have something else. Something else.
Wrong. Might have something else in it, Grant.
I've had a bit of a checkered life.
Oh my gosh.
He's terrible. He's funny though. Yeah. He's funny.
He is.
Yeah.
Anyway, talk about funny. Let's have a listen to Tyler Fisher. Have you heard him, Leanne? Tyler Fisher?
No.
He's funny. Have a listen to this guy.
So this is just a message to all the haters out there who are attacking me. Now, if you attack Anthony, Dr. Anthony Fauci, you are also attacking science. Because as you know, I am science. You can call me Father Science or Lord of the Sci or Fauci the Science Guy. Whatever you call me, when you attack me somewhere in a lab, a beaker explodes and shards of glass shoot into a child's eye whenever you send a mean tweet. So just know that. But you're also attacking people who are hard of seeing and short people. So when you attack me, you are also attacking the midget blind scientist community, the MBS. So I would recommend if you're one of those, take your mask, put it in your mouth, and shut up.
That's Tyler Fisher. He's really funny. Yeah, he's a hilarious guy. Yeah, I shouldn't really be playing his stuff because there's probably a copyright on it, isn't there? Fisher, Fischer, Tyler, Tyler. He's on YouTube. Very funny.
There's all sorts of things. I'll look him up.
Yeah, it kept me sane. You know, when the whole COVID thing was going on, when I thought everyone had gone. Well, I think everyone had gone absolutely stark raving mad. Fancy injecting an untested serum into people. You know, we're down to four months old now, I think it is. Let's have a look. I think they're doing babies now.
Yes, which is horrific, isn't it? That's frightening. Isn't it?
But what about symptoms, you know, like the side effects, I mean, that come
They're just ignoring them. Yeah.
They're ignoring them, covering it up.
Seriously, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So you must have been on a lot of pressure, under a lot of pressure, Genevieve, not to, to not get vaccinated. You must have been under a lot of pressure to get vaccinated. How did you resist? Because there was a lot of mind control going on.
Mm. Well, my mom is very anti-vax. You know, I'm more into the political stuff. I'm more knowledgeable on that stuff. And then she informs me mostly about the vaccine stuff. Mm. And so I always had her as my protector. We got me out of public. That didn't sound right. I got out of public school, started to be homeschooled.
We got me out of public school.
Missourian. Okay. Missourian.
Yeah.
Down south.
Well, I think it's good you're homeschooled, and the public school kids don't sound as. I mean, I don't think very many 16-year-old public school children would come on this program and talk to adults. Yeah. And so that's the thing I notice about homeschooled kids. Homeschooled kids; they can foot it with anybody. That's what I've noticed about them.
Well, we have different experiences than the public school because in my public school. It gets so bad to where if you're not a certain way, even in Missouri, you could not ask questions. You could not be different. It was awful. Ugh.
So when did your mother get you out of that? Just in the last year or?
The start of the pandemic.
Good.
As soon as all that happened, I was out.
Hmm. Same here, Alien. A lot of people.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't get my vaccines at I think it was eighth grade, fifth grade. I don't know. Mom stopped when I was five because I had a horrible reaction to it. I was gone. I was five, and I had my eyes were open, but I literally was not there. Right after they gave it to me, the night of. So I've never gotten a vaccine since, and I will not.
That's wise. Yep.
So, Leanne, you and I, we were all vaccinated, weren't we?
We were fully vaccinated because we didn't, no one knew back then, did they?
No.
But boy, some of the things I've heard, you know, through a naturopath friend of mine, and like you say, Genevieve, there were terrible reactions. And, yeah.
It's put me off. I mean, I really never thought there was a problem with vaccines. I thought that they'll be okay, you know, tetanus and all that, and diphtheria, and what's the measles, mumps, and all that sort of thing. And I don't think I had any trouble, but then you don't know, do you?
Don't
I mean, me being a bit slightly backward, retarded human being, that might have been caused by the vaccines. You don't know. Because, Lenny, I'll tell you what, seriously, when I was about three, I don't think I've shared this with you, but when I was about three, I felt really intelligent. You know, like I had questions, and my mind, I could think about things, and I could absorb stuff, and I used to hear stuff as well. Like I could hear sounds that other people couldn't hear.
Really?
And then all of a sudden, from about three and a half, and I'm putting it down to sort of maybe some booster shots or something like that, I felt really slow. My mind felt slow, and I couldn't think properly.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and I wonder whether I was vaccine injured at that young age.
Yeah.
And, you know, because everyone's different. And and Gabriella, my daughter, your niece, she was fully vaccinated, and she had some learning difficulties and quite a bit of illness when she was young. But Sebastian didn't have anything. He really didn't have any illnesses except he had a little cyst that had to be drained once. I'm not sure about that, but other than that, he was really very healthy boy, and he's doing so well now at Nautical College. He's way ahead of me and Gabby, and I wonder whether, you know, her and I were vaccine injured. I don't know how you and Valerie got off, because you guys are bright, aren't you? You're both university educated.
Semi-bright, Grant.
Semi-bright.
I just got through.
Got a few clues, mate.
Oh, I've got the odd one. But it's interesting you say that, though, because, you know, just through a naturopath I knew probably about 15 years ago, she said of a lot of the, including autism, and listening to John F. Kennedy, you know, who's done a lot of study in the vaccine injury right from way back, you know, from the vaccines we would have had, polio vaccine, and that, they reckon there was a lot of side effects. But yeah, he was saying major side effects from that, and they say a lot of autism had resulted. So you're quite right. You know, a friend of mine was saying, I think her daughter had a similar reaction to you, Genevieve, where she just went funny, you know, as in her eyes rolled back or something, you know what I mean? And she has just wondered now, but as she said, you know, they didn't know, we didn't even think it back then that there could be a problem, did we?
No.
Well,
I think Mum.
You were young, but we didn't.
I don't think Mum was that keen on doctors, but she, you know, she loved us, and she, there was no other alternatives, I don't think. Well, there may have been, but we didn't know about them.
And the same thing is now, isn't it? People, you know, they think that the doctors and the health department and, you know, all of that, that they know things, that they are bright, but boy, little do they know.
I think the learning is probably bias too.
Yes it is.
You're right, that's exactly right. Dr. Sam Bailey, I don't know whether you two are familiar with Dr. Sam Bailey. She's a New Zealand doctor, and her husband is Mark Bailey. And they, up until 2019, they were, you know, fully involved in the medical field. I think they both have about 12 to 15 years each of, you know, as a GPs and, you know, working in hospitals. But when COVID came out, they smelt something. And they, and she was doing these YouTube videos about health. And then she started doing something about the vaccine or about the COVID. And all of a sudden, she was banned. And the whole, you know, she just wasn't able to say what she wanted. And she lost her job as well. She was like hosting a health TV thing on YouTube. And so now they are fully against the whole allopathic. They call normal medical doctors allopathic. And over the last 2 years, they've learned all the stuff, and they basically don't even believe that you can that a virus has actually been separated properly. And they with all these other doctors internationally, they're saying that the pharmaceutical industry has kept us in fear by worrying about the threat of catching this virus, this external virus. And they say that Beecham, who invented the cellular theory, they say that Louis Pasteur plagiarized his work and used his work and then but turned it around to say that viruses came from it, and they're an external organism that attack the human body, and so therefore we have to use, you know, something like an antibiotic, or they didn't have that then, but to fight it. Whereas the cellular theory, or the terrain theory, which is what, you know, the Baileys believe, is that we just have to keep our bodies healthy.
Yes,
and sunlight and, you know, good food and exercise, and you don't get all the stuff, because it's really just the change in the cells within the body, and they think it's a disease, when in actual fact it's just the body not at ease, you know. So I'm That's starting good. To really look seriously at that, and I'd really love to have her on the program, but
yeah, she'd be great.
You'd probably have to have, you know, like 100,000 followers before she'd even consider coming on our program. But it would be great to have her on, because her, and even Mark, her husband, he's sort of the back room guy. He does a lot of the, you know, the research work, and she's really good at being able to take that information and present it so that even a 9 or a 10-year-old could understand it. So that's Sam Bailey, New Zealand doctor and husband.
Correct.
Yeah, fantastic. But what else have you been up to, Lenny? What have we got? Viruses? Do you believe in viruses? I always have believed in viruses.
I used to, but until I heard the same as what you just saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Since your naturopath told you that?
No. It was just in the last year, actually, where I read that, it's been wrongly taught that there's things coming outside at us, that's sort of the narrative going in. It's actually not that, because I'd studied up in all the natural, I mean, I'd gone through NeoLife, which is more adding, it's natural food put in a capsule, but really well made. But people I've heard, you know, who are distributors of that have been incredibly healed of things like cancer, you know. But they have to say put to sleep, they're not allowed to say that. So I spoke to the who brought it into New Zealand, the doctor, and he, you know, he was healed of a disease the other doctors couldn't help him, an autoimmune disease, and also really bad asthma. He carried an oxygen tank and did high dose vitamin C with the flavonoids in it, you know, the whole of the orange or the whole of the lemon.
More than me. You've really done
so I studied all that and just believe in it. You know, Val, our sister, she had it was some sort of thing, and they were saying, it was some bug outside, viral thing attacking, or, you know, bacterial infection, attacking her leg, and it was antibiotics only she could have, and we were going back month after month to the doctor. So I said to her, look, you know, do you want to go on this natural, all it is your basic vitamins, minerals, and plus a really good thing in there to help get things into the cells, which is basically, apparently the company I'm with say it's the natural fiber from the grain. It's they call it lipids and sterols or something, which has been stripped from our grain. Yeah, and that helps.
That makes sense. Yep.
And it totally took it away. It took about a month and a half, 2 months.
Really?
Keeping up on that. And she had the salmon oil, and she had dry skin on her leg. It came up shiny, like she'd just put olive oil on it, you know.
Coconut oil.
Yeah, it was from the inside out. And I think it's quality stuff if you're going, you know, either good food, organic food, or natural products that work. And I think they've done research on natural products that aren't good quality, and that's why, you know, they say, oh no, they don't work. You know, I think Ian Wishart in New Zealand.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but if they're good quality, boy, the results are incredible. The doctor got rid of gangrene on his father's foot. He treated him in hospital, the man who brought it into New Zealand. Dr.
What's
John
it called Henry. Again, Lenny, this stuff?
So NeoLife is the...
NeoLife,
and they're no more expensive than what we get in our health shops, you know.
I've just put it in the chat, and you tell me if I've spelt it right. I've just got Neo, N-E-O-L-I-F-E, is that right?
L-I-F-E, yeah, all one word.
All one word.
So, yeah, and they were the ones that stopped our dad having a stroke for 30 years.
Really?
Yeah, I heard of it in my 60s through a Christian friend, and she said, come along, this guy's a doctor. And she was getting stuff for her brother who wasn't well, and dad had had a stroke in his 60s. Yeah.
Hang on, you heard of it in your 60s? You're not
in
even
60. In my 30s, sorry, in my, yeah. My 30s, yeah. Did I say I was 60? Yeah, I'm now 95.
No, in your 30s.
Sorry, yeah. Dad was...
Well, our father lived to 91, and it was a stroke that had several strokes, wasn't it, that got there?
Yes, and he was forgetting to take the Neolife just went right off it. So there was sort of no... and that was the only reason he had another stroke, which... But I said, the young doctor in A&E when we went in, you know, she said, how did he not have, you know, she's discussing his tests and things, and she said, how did he not have a bypass or, you know, those stent things they have, you know, his arteries, because he had a 90% blockage from age 60 to 90.
He had none of that, hey?
Oh, and I said he had good quality salmon oil. She said, the power of salmon oil, you know, good old salmon oil. She said she knew of it. Yeah, she was a young doctor. So in talking to a doctor who I went to for something, she was brilliant, and some of the other doctors hated her because she was a specialist and picked up on things they didn't, and that other doctors didn't, and they didn't really like her, but she was very good. And she said they had, you know, about 2 hours of nutrition, and, you know, it was all learning from the, you know, the medical books, the drug books. And,
yeah, pharmaceutical drug companies. Yeah, definitely.
Very little. So
they're basically drug pushers, aren't they, for the pharmaceutical industry?
Yes.
The doctors today, most of them.
Yeah. Does your mum know all about that, Guinevere?
Actually, it's Genevieve, I think it
Genevieve.
Is. Genevieve.
Sorry, don't call you Guinevere. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Genevieve.
It's okay.
This is good stuff,
really,
Leanne.
She's into all of the natural medicines, and I am too. I love to forage and get medicine from outside, make teas.
Oh, was it salves?
Yeah, I love that stuff. It's my favorite.
Wow.
What's your favorite tea that you forage for?
That's a really hard one. I love ironweed tea because the flowers are purple and beautiful, and it's good for, like, women. It's a women's tea, and headaches, and I have really bad migraines, so it really helps me. So that's
What's
probably my favorite tea.
Ironweed.
Ironweed.
Yeah, it's
I'm just
beautiful.
Looking it up.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so you make it yourself.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I just take it, dry out the leaves, and make some tea.
Fantastic. Oh, you must be very healthy then, you know.
Yeah. I try to be.
It says here it grows best with the full sun and rich, moist, almost acidic soil, sunny, moist beds and borders. They've got it in New York.
Wow. Yeah,
grow native. It's quite an attractive plant.
I love it. It grows right next to where my little cow neighbors are. So it's awesome.
And what about food? Are you a vegetarian or a vegan, or do you eat meat as well?
I'm a big meat eater because I feel like, and I understand, like, vegetarian and stuff, but I feel like we get so much from meat that I just couldn't deprive myself.
It is good for iron and energy. I tried to go vegetarian, and actually the naturopath I knew did too, and she said she couldn't, got no energy on it, and I was the same. And she said it's according to our ancestry, you know, to where we grew up and what sort of, you know, our family line ancestors ate and what country we're from, you know, is what we can tolerate, you know. So, yeah, I definitely couldn't do vegan and I couldn't do vegetarian. What about you, Graham?
Well, I've got friends that are vegetarians, and when I go there, they're vegans actually, and their food is incredible. But it just goes straight through me because I'm not used to it. But but I've been listening to Jordan Peterson's daughter. Her name is Michaela.
Oh, and yes. I like Jordan Peterson too. Isn't he great?
Right.
Yeah.
He is.
Well, his daughter, she had at a very young age, sort of infant arthritis.
Wow.
And it was very bad. And so she is on what she calls a lion diet, where she just eats meat, red meat, lamb, beef, buffalo, no chicken. And she has extra magnesium, I think it is, and a few other things, a bit more salt than normal. But that's what she's been on for 5 years. And she doesn't have any more arthritis. It's stopped
amazing.
It.
Amazing. Yeah.
And so that's I'm awesome. Tempted to try it, actually. Yeah. Tempted to try it, just all meat diet. You'd eat less, and so you'd be nice and thin, I would think, because you wouldn't need as much, you know, potatoes and mash, would you?
I think my pharmacist said something about an all meat diet a few years ago, and it was something like that it was good for certain health things. That's incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm going to look into it. It's called the Lion Diet, and it's, her name is Michaela. It's spelled a bit funny. I'm not sure how to spell it. Michaela Peterson. So Jordan Peterson's daughter. They go on tour together, and she looks fit and healthy, but she was in a real bad way. She had to have operations on her bones and all sorts of things when she was little. But she said, you know, look at the – and then she only eats quality meat, you know, like she buys meat. She's actually selling it, you know, as well. And so it's all organic. She buys it directly from the farm. And you know, there's probably no vaccines in it. It's real quality stuff. And she lifts up this massive steak. You know, she's holding this big steak. She said, "Look at this bad boy." And so it's red meat, you know, and venison and bison. They have bison over there. You know, lamb. I mean, all we've got. I mean, on the farm, actually, I could probably get you meat if you ever wanted to do that, Leanne, because we've got, we've got, you know, 50 cows. You know, I've got some big boys.
Have
some
you?
Big boys, they'd be 600 kgs, these big boys, you know, 1,200 pounds.
Wow.
So, I just sent you a video of them. I killed my first deer last month.
Really?
Did you?
Yeah, she was a huge doe.
It was tell us about that.
Oh, I'm so excited to tell you. So me and my dad, we went hunting and this is my, you know, my first year, like I said, and I got her, you know, around where I was supposed to, but I was a little too low because I was shaking. I was nervous. So she ended up like hemorrhaging, and I feel awful about that, but, so she hemorrhaged and I had to be a bloodhound. So we searched for 2 hours on a blood trail until we found her body. It was crazy.
Wow.
I went through, like, so much blood on the leaves. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That'd be a hard one, wouldn't it?
But she's delicious.
Oh. Halfway through it now, eating it.
Wow. I know. When I look at the sheep now and the cows, I look at the fat ones and I go, you know, and I think I did a video. I did a video, Leanne. It's on my YouTube, and it's just called steaks, you know, just having chicken out the steaks or something. moving the meat from one paddock to the next. I mean, they're lovely creatures, but you know, I do love the taste of them.
They are delicious.
They are nice.
Well, it's good we've got some carnivores on here, isn't it?
Yes, I know. Yeah.
I noticed everyone's dropped off. They're probably all vegans.
Yeah, they dropped off in disgust. Do you find the venison quite strong or not? You don't mind the taste? I tried it once when it was freshly caught when I was away on a tramping trip with some guys who'd caught a deer, and it was in the ranges, I think it was the Hoonua Ranges. But how do you find it? You know,
Genevieve?
Oh, sorry.
What does Dad say to do with it? Do you keep it for a while? Do you just sort of like hang it for a few days so that it gets tender? Or how do you prepare your meat?
Well, the night of or whenever we get back from the hunting trip, we always process the deer. So we skin it, get all the meat off. And then this time we processed and then just left out. So like making it into like burger meat, you know, grinding it up. And it's just what I use for everything. I hardly even use beef, and I love beef, but I, you know, we have so much deer meat that we just use the ground beef. And then we also have like
roasts. So lucky.
I have them keep the tenderloin and like, you know, whatever you can make the roast with. I forgot, but yeah, that's what we do. And
I just season it, and it's good.
Wow.
And so your dad's, that was your first trip, was it, when you shot your, did you shoot a doe, or was it a stag? I think it was a doe, wasn't it?
It was about a 215-pound doe is what my dad said.
Mm.
So it was a pretty Yum. Big one. I'm happy with it.
Yummy. What does Dad think about skinning them and gutting them and then just leaving them hang in a cool store for a while? Does he ever do that? Sort of age the meat?
Or do you just process it straight away? That. He just processes it straight away, and then we take the skin, and we could like sell it, but it's just a lot of work. So we just throw it into throw it into the next field, because there's lots of fields around here. Lots of cows.
Wow. Oh no, I mean hang the carcass, not the skin. I meant, do you hang the meat for a day or two before you start prepping it?
So yeah, like no, we just go instantly and try so that it doesn't like, because it gets kind of warm, you know, we don't want the meat to spoil, so we just kind of get it going.
You'd need a real cool store, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, red deer. Yeah, well, we don't have any deer up here where I live. Where you are, Leanne, you've got deer down there, haven't you? I've got some big beefy cows, but I'm going to try. I got really sick, Lenny. I don't know if you know, about 4 months ago I fell over. I was carrying
Sebastian told me. Yeah,
and I was so sick. I got like two or three hernias, and but you know what? I went to the doctor. But he couldn't sort of get me into the hospital or anything like that. It was our medical system is shot up here.
Auckland, yeah.
Bad as well. Well, I'm actually feeling pretty good now. And so much so that I don't feel that, even though it's covered by ACC, I don't feel like I want to go and have a CT scan, because that's ionized radiation. And apparently it's 200 times a chest x-ray, just one of those. It's like having 200 chest x-rays. I've done a lot of research on that actually. And I want to do a program on that. And because I think there's a bit of a scam going on there with the CT scans, CAT scans. I don't want to have one of those, because, you know, I don't want ionized radiation in my body. And I wonder whether that's actually contributing to some of the cancers that we're seeing in this country and America.
And
also, I don't feel like I need to have an operation. And I've also heard about, they put these mesh in you when you have a hernia. Because your bowel or whatever starts to push through the skin when you get a bit older, I suppose you're not as fit as you were. You don't have the six pack you once had. I've been on this homeopathic remedy, and I don't know whether it's just the placebo effect or whether it's the actual remedy working on me. They say that the remedy works on the vital force, and your vital force sort of heals the body, you heals yourself, or it's whether it's just the body that God's given us to the natural ability that we have to heal ourselves. It took 3 months, over 3 months, but I feel really good and I'm coming right. I mean, I was so sick. I had pains going up my shoulders and up my spine and everywhere. And, you know, and I thought I'd been poisoned. I thought that I'd ruptured something in my stomach. Wow. I was poisoned.
What was the remedy that you? I
think I had Nux Vomica, and then I went on to another one. I think it was called Rustox Adendrum. I had those two remedies, but I don't feel like I need anything now. And I'm confident just that I'm on the mend, and I'm just getting better every few days. I just think, oh well, I'm better than I was. I can pull my boots on now. Seb had to put my socks on for me and put my boots on for me. That's how the pain that I was in, it was just constant all night. And in the morning, I was worse in the morning, and I could barely move. And then I'd have to walk around to try and loosen myself up. And then I got to the stage where my neck, I couldn't move it more than sort of like 10 degrees from center.
Goodness.
And it's still a little stiff, but it's getting better. And I wonder whether there's some kind of a chemical thing that's come from when I had this internal injuries that affected all my muscles. And, I feel really good now, and I'm not going to have an operation. So, you know, bodies are incredible, aren't they? They can, you know, God has given us these bodies that can't, we don't need to rush off to the doctor. And that's what I like about the Baileys. They say that we need to take responsibility for our own health, you know, that you don't need to just rush off to the doctor. You know, you can research as well as we can. And don't let them mock you when they say, oh, you know, don't worry about Dr. Google. But, you know, we, that's all we do. We look online and we look at, at studies and things, and you can be an expert in your problem and know more than the doctors. And so that was really good to hear that from a medical, two medical people. So, yeah, I really do want, and I really want to investigate this. I can't really say too much because I've even got recordings of the radiologist saying, oh, no, it's less than, it would be less than having your cell phone in your pocket, and it would be less than a one chest x-ray. Oh, no, it's much less than that. Well, that's actually just not true. That is an absolute lie. It's it's at minimum, on average, 200 times a chest x-ray to have one CT scan. And so, and apparently, it's like $1,500 for a CT scan, and I mean they are the most wealthy. It's that very, you see all the buildings are flash, brand new machinery. It costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, and some of the doctors, they know it's so lucrative that they actually have shares in the radiology clinics.
Yes,
and they're sending people. Yep, they're sending people off to get.
Give you cancer.
It definitely does. I'll talk about that in a sec. But they're basically sending you off to have scans, and they say between 30 and 50% of the scans that doctors are ordering are unnecessary and of no use to the patient, and it's just a scam. And apparently, in 1980, there was like 80,000 scans ordered. In 2015, there were it was phenomenal. It was almost 200 million. Scans. So it's a multi-billion, hundreds of billions of dollars a year in America alone, and it'll be huge here in this country where they're ordering scans. And with your surgeon, normally he'll say, well, I need to get you an MRI, which is not as dangerous. But they're ordering these CT scans, and it's and you don't need it. And so I really do want to look at that, because I even saw there was a New York Times article, and that said the same sort of stuff. It was about 200 times a chest x-ray for one CT scan of this ionized radiation. And they did some survey on they looked at a bunch of children from 0 to 10, and 24% of those children developed a cancer before they were 10 years old.
Oh, yes. That's
and they'd all had the CT scans.
This medical doctor I knew, Grant, she said the same, that the radiation causes cancer, and, you know, staying away from all of that. So, yeah, it's all been covered up. She had studied all that side of it. I think it's why the other doctors didn't like her. She knew too much.
She sounds great.
She's good. Yeah.
Are you going to her? Is she your doctor now?
I was. But I don't sort of need to go to her anymore. She was a specialist. So, but yeah, she'd really looked into the whole natural side and knew all about the dangers of different drugs.
Brilliant, man. Those, to me, those are the great doctors.
Yeah.
And when COVID struck, all these doctors that had, you know, years of training and experience, They jettisoned all of that and did what the government, who has no experience, you know, most of them, like Bloomfield, hadn't seen a patient for over 20 years. Yeah. And they were listening to people like Jacinda Ardern. We are your single source of truth.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's a communications.
Frightening.
Yeah, frightening. And they gave it all up. So to me, they're the state doctors. They just do what the state tells them, and I don't trust them. They have no credibility anymore. I don't trust a single doctor now. They just, I have disdain for them, because they should have spoken up. I mean, a lot did. Yeah. And the great doctors spoke up. We've got this organization here called New Zealand Doctors Speaking Out with Science, nzdsos.com.
That's right.
The government went out and set up a one, and it's 5,000 doctors and nurses and those that have come out against what the government's doing. And our government, with these other state doctors, set up a website, the same initials, nzdsos.co.nz, and they're slandering us, saying that we're fruitcakes and, you know, don't believe it. It's all it's all misinformation. So, boy, it's a warfare, you know.
I think they've got that in America too, haven't they?
Yeah, haven't you guys noticed how they say, follow the science and like stuff like that. Like you don't believe in science, but when there is like literal, like so many cases of reactions to things, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's so weird.
My friend in Phoenix, Arizona, over there was saying that a lot over there don't want to go to the doctor anymore because they were giving people with COVID the remdesivir and all the things that, you know, practically kill people, don't they?
That'll kill you. Yes, it is killing people.
Yeah.
I have got a friend who's an ICU nurse in Kentucky. Wow. 9 years, it'd be 10 years now, 10 and a half years. Can't say his name. I think I'm not sure if he's still working there, but he was in the ICU, and he said all the people that were coming in with COVID, they were calling it COVID. He said they were all vaccine injured.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, yes.
He's a 9-year veteran.
Wow, he'd know.
That had nothing to do with COVID. It was just vaccine injuries, and they're calling it COVID.
No, it's just
same here.
Yes.
And they're all too scared. But, you know, also, I must tell you about my friend. He's got a cardiologist. He's been going for 20 years. That's Dennis, who was on earlier. You know, you might have heard Dennis. So he's 81, and, you know, he's not expected to live very long, Dennis said. But his cardiologist said to him just a few months ago when he visited him in Wellington, he said that he's had a huge influx of young people with myocarditis and pericarditis.
Yes.
And he said he can't say anything because he said they'll strike me off, and I've got patients that need me to keep them alive. I can't afford to say anything.
Yeah, it's terrible, but isn't it?
He should say something. I don't really agree with that. They all should say something. They're all silenced.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Side effects that I am really, really personally like invested in keeping myself away from is like the infertility stuff. Because as a Christian, I feel like, you know, God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. I want children. And I get so worried about the things that's in our food and like the medicines that we have, the air we breathe, the vaccines, like it's all damaging because the birth rates are going down so much.
Yeah, they are. Mm. But it does affect fertility, as you were saying. Yeah.
Imagine if this vaccine that they're pushing out really is as nefarious as what some people are saying, that sterilizing women.
That's what I'm
saying. Yeah. And been stillbirth.
You're saying,
Yeah.
We had a guy on the program last year. He said that there were two girls that they were with. They're both pregnant. That they knew it was in their church, and they both had children. They both got vaccinated, and they both had children, and they were born with like little fingers sticking out of their hand and stuff like that. You know, both of them were deformed.
Here in New Zealand,
parents were vaccinated in America.
In America, that's very
and sick. He's the pastor of the church that Stu Peters attends. Stu Peters, the Stu Peters show. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you want to listen to it? Peters, S-T-E-W, like stew, you know, like venison stew. S-T-E-W, Peters, P-E-T-E-R-S.
Pretty protected, Genevieve, with, you know, your mum and all you as a family having good food, you know.
You're on the right track.
Yeah. I think it's just the ones that don't understand and don't know about the natural things. So I think you'll be pretty safe, you know.
You're blessed to have mum and dad, for one thing.
Yeah.
Mum and dad, Christian mother and father, and, you know, you're out in the wild. So do you live fairly well out in the country in Missouri, do you?
Yes, I do. I love it because I feel so much more safe out here than in
the cities.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's fantastic having you come on this program. I really appreciate it. Don't you think, Leanne? It's so nice to have a 16-year-old Christian girl with, you know,
a bright 16-year-old too.
highly intelligent.
Highly intelligent, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't really get a good go before because we had Chris on, and Chris was talking about things that were, you know, my mind was just spinning. I mean, I've never heard anything like it, you know, like reptilians and stuff. So it's a bit to get your head around.
I was on about the reptilians. Yeah, I've heard of them. Because he was in the Navy and things. Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know what to think about that. I've never, if you show me someone and they tear their face off and they're a reptile, I might believe it, but I struggle a bit with all that, you know. I really do.
Pretty out there, yeah.
I just think they're probably devils, you know, if there's anything like that from outside, it's just devils, impersonating.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like the whole alien stuff, you know, I believe they're actually the demons, you know, like fallen. Yeah. You remember like the story about the Nephilim and the fallen angels and stuff?
Yeah.
That's what I feel. Yeah. That's what we think too.
We're meant to meet tonight. Yeah, we're meant to meet.
Yeah, no, you're on it. You're on the money.
You're onto it, girl.
Yeah, she is, isn't she? Goodness me.
Well, look, we'll try and do a program. Should we try and do something regular, Lenny, and bring something to the table? Like if you want to bring something about health or something like that, because I'm fascinated with this neo life. I wouldn't mind going on that.
I'd love to listen.
And maybe we could advertise it or find a sponsor.
Oh, yeah. That'd be wonderful. It's made in America, Genevieve. I'm not sure where, but I must look it up, actually. But, yeah, I get it, you know, through the Australian 0800 sort of to New Zealand, shipped to New Zealand. But and they've got bases here. But it is made over in America. I must find out where. But, yeah, it's very good stuff. No, that sounds good, Grant.
Fabulous. All right. Well, I was trying to think what we could go out on. I'll try and find something. You keep talking, Leanne. You're so good at doing broadcasting. You talk while I look for something to play.
Yeah, no, you're very
I'll
good.
Look at my uploads and see what I've got. Yeah, I might have something.
I was going to say, Genevieve, have you got cattle in your land, or what animals are on your land?
I don't actually own any. My neighbors across the street do. We have lots of cows around here and goats. Yeah, I love it. But I have 7 animals, I believe. I have 6 dogs and 1 cat.
Oh, lovely.
So that's all I have.
Does the cat get a hard time? Get rounded up by the dogs?
The cat is a king, and
great.
He gets to do whatever he wants, and he sleeps in my mom's room, even though he's my cat. But I don't let him in my room.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Well, thanks, Genevieve, and thank you, Leanne. It's great having you on my program.
You are welcome
anytime. So I'm going to go out with John Ansell, my friend John Ansell from Wellington. Hopefully he's going to come up and stay with me for a few days. Right now he's in Auckland. He's actually supporting someone in a court case, which is good. And, you know, it's like a freedom type issue. And I think there's going to be some good people there. We've got Liz Gunn's going to be – maybe I shouldn't mention that on air just in case. Better not say too much more. But here's John Ansell, and we'll see you next time.
Yay.
Bye. You know what they're going to do, that you know what they stand for, you know what their ideology is. The problem is the right of politics, if you like, which doesn't exist because they've all cuddled up with the left. And the right represents freedom, it's meant to anyway, and it doesn't exist. And because everyone's being so nice, and we, in that way, we kind of deserve to die, because next year is going to be the most horrific year in human history. And people aren't prepared to believe it, because they're determined to look at the world through the eyes of a decent person. As Sev Zelenko says, you're looking at the world through the eyes of a decent person. You can't do that when you've got communist murderers on the other side. You can't do that. You've got to look at it like they look at it. They're evil. Everything they do and everything they say backs that up. And if we can't see that, you know, we are all dead. That's how I see it. You know, this requires a very strong, dare I say it, masculine response. They have to step up. The men have to step up at times like this and be men and stop being wussy about it, because that's what we're being at the moment, and that's why we're going to die. And our children are going to die. If we put up wussiness against communist, or whatever you call it, globalist, communist, technocracy, whatever, fascist, it doesn't matter about the word, they're evil.
They are coming from a belief system that says that nation state is an obsolete idea, and we have to have a one world government that is basically a fusion of the interests of corporations and politics, global politics. And we got to start by finding out who they are, voting them out of office, making sure they are not part of our governments. Two notable characters here in the United States are Governors Inslee and Newsom. Okay? We've got to out these people. We've got to force them to account for whether or not they're Americans or are they globalists. And if they're globalists, they got to get out. We got to get rid of them. We got to take back ownership of our country. If you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in the principles of free speech and personal autonomy, medical autonomy and autonomy at every level, other level, it's time to fight. You know, or your children are going to live in basically a techno-fascism for the rest of their natural lives as serfs.
That's Dr. Robert Malone, and he's the inventor of the mRNA vaccine.
If you look at the side effects of these things, blood clots, myocarditis, inflammation of hearts, increase in miscarriages from 10 to 80% in the first trimester, increases in cancer, increases in autoimmune diseases, ovarian dysfunction, most likely infertility. And that's not to mention the genocidal potential effect of antibody-dependent enhancement. Why the hell would you put that into a child when they have a 100% near 100% chance of recovery from a infection that is safer than influenza virus?
And that was Dr. Zelenko. And you remember Dr. Zelenko was part of the team that got President Trump back to health again. And now this is New Zealand Dr. Alana Ratner.
Mass formation, what happens is you get a population afraid and very, so they did that by the lockdowns and by spreading the fear that COVID was deadly and all these deaths, which were grossly exaggerated. For example, in America, they were paid $30,000 or thereabouts for every COVID death, and again, more money if the patient was put on a ventilator. And it came out earlier this year that only 6% of those 300,000 or so American deaths were actually due to COVID. So people were made to be very, very scared and told there was nothing that they could do about this, absolutely nothing, and to hang out for the vaccine. So people were isolated and scared and anxious. And then the vaccine came, and that was their answer to everything. It was illusion. So they defend that miracle solution with every fibre of their being, and anyone that speaks out against it is seen as nuts or crazy. So in this mass formation, about 30% of people cannot be hypnotised. About 40% of people are just sitting on the fence, and about 30% are irretrievable. They have fallen hook, line and sinker, and you'll never get them back. They'll always believe in it. So we have to work on that 40% to try and sway them not to join the fully hypnotized 30%.
So that's Dr. Alana Ratner, and she is a New Zealand doctor. And so thanks very much, Genevieve. It's been really good having you on, and good to have my sister on too. First time she's ever been on this program.
So it was
great to have her, and it was awesome to have you. And so we are, both of us are very impressed with your maturity for a 16-year-old, and you're just so blessed to have parents like you've got, and living where you live, and being able to go and hunt your own food and prepare it and eat it, that beautiful venison. So it's just marvelous. So just keep up the good stuff, and also about, you know, like health and all that you're learning and being homeschooled. You've got it's the best way. It's the way God wants us to live, I think, as young people. So well done. And so thank you very much. And so I'm going to finish now with John Ansell. He's got a song called Depopulation. And so we'll finish on that. So thanks very much, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Genevieve.
Depopulation of every nation, as I tell everyone, you plan to murder me.
And me.
Depopulation by vaccination. I want the world to know how evil you can be. Who could believe you could be so nasty and demented? I never thought the genocide would be reinvented. But that was back before you had everyone injecting and stopped ivermectin protecting my heart. Depopulation of every nation. As I tell everyone, you plan to murder me.
And me.
And me.
Depopulation by vaccination. I want the world to know how evil you can be. It seems that Bill, Melinda, and you think you're above me. I sense that when you ordered your pigs to push and shove me. Your Uncle Klaus believes the world's better off without me. What is it about me that makes that okay? Depopulation of every nation. As I tell everyone, you plan to murder me.
And me.
And me.
Depopulation by vaccination. I want the world to know how evil you can be. Depopulation and devastation. I want the world to know how evil you can be. Depopulation, obliteration. I want the world to know how evil you can be. I want the world to know.